Welcome back to the Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. We are kicking off our fourth and final hour here with our guy Robin Washit on the Dingman's Collision Center hotline. Robin, how are you today?
What's up, Robbie?
Not too much. Robin obviously is HuskerOnline.com, part of the Rivals Network. And so Saturday didn't go the way Nebraska would have liked, obviously. But is this something where it's like a burn the tapes type thing and move on? Or is there something that you saw that the Huskers can learn from Saturday's game?
I think you definitely burned the first 15 minutes of tape.
Sure.
Because that was about as awful as it possibly get. But, you know, if you want to try and find some sort of silver lining out of that game, you know, the second half, I thought they looked like a completely different team. They kind of settled down a little bit and, you know, didn't seem nearly as overwhelmed by the moment like they were to open up. So I think that can maybe be a teaching point to where, like, hey, guys, look, when you settle down and actually play the way that you're capable of playing, you're okay. I mean, you're not that bad. You shot 60% from the floor. You scored 54 points, which is the most points they've scored in a half all season. Now, granted, part of that was probably Creighton just kind of going in cruise control. But still, with the way that game started compared to the way it ended, you know, there was at least some in-game optimism there that things weren't necessarily as bad as maybe they seemed at the beginning. So, I mean, if nothing else, they at least got their first taste of what that whole game is all about and the mentality that you need to have before you even step on the court, because Creighton had it and Nebraska clearly did not. And it showed with the way you know, first, like I said, 15 minutes or so went. But, you know, as far as the big picture of this season is concerned, you can maybe say, you know, as terrible as things were, you know, at least you kept fighting, and at least you showed the ability to execute on that stage and execute pretty well. So it is what it is. It's kind of another step in a season full of firsts and you know, lessons that this team is going to learn as they kind of go through this thing together for the first time. But, you know, it's kind of just trying to find some silver linings there in an otherwise forgettable day.
So, Robin, you mentioned the lack of experience that Nebraska's roster has, not only in this Creighton-Nebraska game, which obviously is fairly intense, but just in atmospheres in major college basketball like this in general. Do you think that or the not starting of Cam Mack had more to do with Creighton's just incredibly hot start off the bat?
I don't know if the Cam Mack thing had that much to do with it. Keep in mind that they didn't start him against, I'm blanking on that third game of the Caymans tournament. Why can't I think of it right now? Not George Mason, not Washington State. South Florida, yeah. So they didn't start him against South Florida, and they actually played pretty well that game. So you know, I think that was more just to send a message not only to the individual but as the team as a whole that you know, there's accountability that you need to hold yourself to, and if you don't, there are going to be consequences. So,
sure.
But I think the start had far more to do with, one, Nebraska couldn't get a stop whatsoever. I mean, they let Creighton do whatever they wanted. They weren't closing out on shooters. You know, they just kind of look lifeless with their defensive rotations that gave up way too many wide open looks on the perimeter. Creighton was getting to the rim far too easily. And then on the other end of it, they couldn't buy a bucket. They missed their first, what, seven or eight shots, and just were ice cold, where they had absolutely no rhythm offensively. So Cam Mack starting or not starting, I don't know how much that changes it either way, because that was all across the board team dysfunction there for the first 10 to 15 minutes. So I don't know. I think that, you know, Fred did that for a reason, and I'm sure that it was for very good reason with Cam, but I don't think that starting Cam Mack off that game changes very much how that game kind of unfolded right off the bat.
We're talking to Robert Washit of HuskerOnline.com. So in terms of the season as a whole for Nebraska, what are some of the things, you know, we've got a pretty good taste of who they've been so far this season. What are some of the things you're looking for in terms of areas that Nebraska is able to improve and your expectations for those areas? Because obviously there are certain things like, you know, the transfers that are sitting out and just overall roster talent and ability. That's probably not going to change over the course of the season. But where are some of the things that you expect improvement as we continue forward and as they get into Big Ten play?
Well, there are two biggest issues right now. One is rebounding. And I just, outside of maybe putting a more concerted effort into rebounding, just from a player standpoint, I don't know what they can really do to change that. So that can maybe marginally improve just by, like I said, showing a little bit more want to in that area. But that kind of is what it is, and it will be in a disadvantage for Nebraska basically every game from here on out. But the area that I think that has also killed them, that I think they could actually improve pretty drastically, is their shooting. It's pretty inexplicable why this team is so bad at putting the ball through the hoop. And it's been in every single phase of the game. They've missed a ton of layups. They've missed a ton of three-pointers. They missed a ton of free throws. Basically, you name it, Nebraska has been inconsistent at best shooting the basketball. And that is, I mean, you brought Fred Hoiberg here to score points and light up the scoreboard. And if you're not doing that, everything kind of doesn't even get off the ground. So this team is better shooters than what they've shown. You know, they might not be the best three-point shooting team, but, you know, they can do better than, you know, shooting barely over 30% of the team. You know, they free throw line. That, I think, is the biggest thing that could be immediately changed just with a little bit more mental toughness from these guys. I mean, there's probably not a better indicator of mental toughness than shooting free throws. And right now, Nebraska is missing every other attempt they take. To me, I mean, that is 100% correctable because it's 100% between the years. It has nothing to do with talent or skill. It's all about the psychology of being confident enough to step up there and make those shots. And if they do that, you look back on the amount of points they've left off the scoreboard just in terms of missing free throws and missing layups. I mean, they were already averaging before that Creighton game over 70 points per game.
Sure, yeah.
That could be well over 80 if they convert the easy ones. So, I mean, if they can make life a lot easier on themselves if they just take care of the most fundamental aspects of the game and take advantage of those easy opportunities when they come. And I think that they're certainly capable of doing that. It's just a matter of you know, playing with that confidence and just kind of belief that the ball is going to go in. Because right now, I think they're kind of throwing it up at the rim and hoping it goes in
sure.
rather than shooting knowing it's going to go in.
So obviously this is one of those years where it's tough to evaluate the season based on wins and losses. And I don't know if you're like me. I kind of like to evaluate, okay, how did the non-conference go? And then I evaluate again at the end of the conference season. And we're kind of getting to that point where we're getting pretty close to the end of the non-con. How do you evaluate this Nebraska team when, like I said, going strictly by record is kind of a tough way to determine success?
Yeah, you don't look at record this season because it's not going to be good. I mean, it's,
sure.
The competition basically after December is going to get it's going to be a grind unlike anything this team has seen yet this far, and they've already had their share of struggles. So, I mean, I think you kind of throw that out, or at least put that off to the side when you try to evaluate the positives of what this season could be for Nebraska. I think the overall things you're looking for, one, I mean, just the confidence factor. Are you going to have guys step up and come into their own and emerge as leaders on and off the court? I think you're starting to see that with guys like Kenneth Cheatham and maybe a couple other guys, at Thor, for instance, are stepping up and kind of finding their roles and being productive more often than not. They just need more guys to do that. And so I think that's just a gradual thing that is going to continue to build as the season goes along. And then also, you know, do you want to find out who your core group is going to be for next season and for the future? Because this is such a unique situation where, you know, Nebraska's roster was completely reset and built in the span of like 6 months. And, you know, we're kind of seeing some of the consequences that come with that. So this year, I mean, you got to find the guys that you can build around. Who are going to be your foundation group? That you can pair Delano Banton, Derek Walker, Shamil Stevenson with, and whoever else you bring in with the 2020 class. You know, who can you supplement with all those new additions? Because next year's roster, you know, again, is going to look completely different in a lot of ways than what we're seeing right now from this team. And so, you know, you got to find that reliable guys that Hoiberg trusts, that he knows that he can run the system, that are bought into the culture and all that stuff that they want. And then you build around that. So you really don't look at the record if you're a Nebraska fan, because it's not going to be pretty. They're going to lose a lot of games, and a lot of games are going to get blown out. But you got to kind of find that next level of success and growth and development that will give you reason to believe next year could be a lot different. Because like I said, there's going to be a lot more pieces next year that they don't have at their disposal now that are going to play very, very big roles. So this is about as much of a rebuild year as you're ever going to find. And you got to kind of pick and choose what you define as success in a situation like this.
Robin, you mentioned the core group and foundational guys. Have you seen any of the guys that have played so far this year that you look at and say, hey, that's a guy moving forward, like he can be part of the thing that turns this around?
Well, I mean, there's certainly guys that I think are talented enough. I think Deshaun Burke, if you just look at the juniors, I mean, to cheat him, obviously, as a senior, he's not going to be around. Kavas, same as well. But, I mean, Gervais Green and Deshaun Burke playing a lot of minutes as juniors. Thor, I'm curious to see, you know, what his situation looks like. Because I think a lot of people expected, you know, he might be one of the more likely guys to move on after this year, just like they did a year ago. But yet, I just mentioned, he's been one of their most consistent performers as of late.
Right.
Seems to be a really good fit in what Nebraska wants to do. And if, you know, they, you know, I guess it depends on what happens between now and the rest of the turnover on the roster between now and next fall, which a lot of it could happen. You know, his role could potentially be different than what I think some people expected. But then, you know, Cam Mack, I think if they can just, you know, get him to, you know, be consistent and reliable off the court and not be a minute late to the bus or whatever it may be, he's clearly one of their most talented players. And he's just a sophomore. And if, you know, you can get him to be one of those leaders, that's a huge tone setter for everything else, because he's one of those guys that could certainly back it up with his play on the court, not just what he's saying, you know, in practice and in the locker room. And then I think with the guys coming in next year, while they can't practice, Derek Walker and Delano Bannon and Shamil Stevenson to an extent already are getting pretty big voices in that team. So those are, like I said, those are three guys that they can't play right now, but all three of those guys could be starters next year. And so, I mean, like I said, that what we're seeing now is going to look so different in just a few more months come next November. Just because, I mean, it's so unique with how this roster was constructed and who's available and who's not, that it's, you're looking at maybe a handful of guys to pair around those three coming in, and then whatever else they add with that 2020 class, that it's hard to even know what the roles are going to be. But certainly I think you're seeing those two juniors, you know, a few of those freshmen, Kevin Cross has shown flashes, Ivan Wade-Rogo to an extent has shown flashes. So, I mean, I think that you've got some young pieces that are starting to maybe put themselves in that conversation of those building blocks for the future. But there's still a lot more to go and a lot more for these guys to prove over the, you know, next couple months of this season.
Robin, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is Robin Washett of HuskerOnline.com, part of the Rivals Network. We're going to take another break here. You're listening to The Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone.